This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Beth Voorhees. West Virginia has been plagued for the past few years with budget deficits. To deal with the shortfalls, the governor has cut state agency budgets across the board, implementing hiring freezes, and dipped into the state's rainy day fund. This year, Governor Tomlin cut the House and Senate approved budget by an additional $11 million, leaving some service programs to wonder how they'll keep their doors open. As Ashton Mara reports, the state's free health clinics are just one of those programs feeling the pinch.
Hey, how are you?
Angie Settle is the executive director of West Virginia HealthRight, a free and charitable health clinic on Charleston's East End. The clinic is the largest of 10 in the state and offers medical, dental, and vision services to more than 15,000 uninsured and underinsured West Virginians each year.
Uninsured, of course, would be somebody without insurance. Prior to the Affordable Care Act, you know, that was a lot of people. Underinsured would be patients. We see Medicaid patients here. So a lot of those people are the very, very poor. And then, like, you know, working poor.
Settle funds her clinic like many nonprofit agencies in West Virginia. 33% of her current budget comes from state coffers, but the rest is made up by grants, private donations, and fundraising, with a staff of doctors and specialists that volunteer their time. But on July 1 of this year, the Charleston HealthRight's budget is in for a major cut, as are the other free health clinics in the state. This year, Governor Tomlin proposed cutting their budgets by more than half to just under $2 million for all 10 facilities. In the version of the budget approved by the House and Senate, the clinic's overall budgets were restored to about $3 million. Senator Chris Walters represents a portion of Kanawha County and is the Senate Finance Committee's vice chair.
We weren't able to fully fund them. So we had met with the free clinics. We brought them in and said, we're going to do everything we can to get you as a large amount of money as possible because we know about what you're able to do. However, you're able to bill Medicaid for the first time this year. So they're getting some money from federal, bringing down federal monies and DHHR match monies that they've never been able to get before. And we talked to them about how much that's going to be for them, how much they projected. After we found that, we said, okay, with that in mind and with the fact that there's going to be a cut because the governor's not going to let us restore it all the way, where can you all live? What type of area can we get where we can keep your services? And we came to the number about $3 million.
In the end, though, Governor Tomlin again reduced the funds to about $2,750,000 to split between all 10 clinics. Walters is right. For the first time, some clinics are able to bring in extra dollars by billing Medicaid for some services. Settle says in 2014, her clinic brought in nearly $200,000 in state and federal reimbursement funds, but $100,000 of that went to hiring someone to do the billing and the upgrades in operating systems and IT to make it happen. But Settle says she doesn't expect that number to increase much in the future, even without the startup costs, partly because Medicaid reimbursements are notoriously low compared to the cost of service, and partly because of the mission of the clinics and the population they serve.
Our total focus is on the patient, what's good for the patient. It reminds me of almost like a NASCAR pit stop when people come here. And that's the truth, because we know how hard it is for them to get here with their gas and everything. So they'll come in, we get everything we can do for them that day, you know, talk to them about smoking cessation, you know, dental health, get their blood pressure checked, get their blood work done, get their pap smear if it's due, give them a slip to go get a mammogram, everything that we can pack into that visit. As much bang for the buck in that day, we do it. And then, yeah, we do submit the bill for Medicaid or whatever, and if they deny it, fine. If they pay for it, fine.
Settle says the clinic could change its policy. It could start scheduling patients for the treatments weeks apart so Medicaid will cover more services. But at the end of the day, she's treating the working poor, West Virginians with two or three jobs. And Settle says they won't come back for those appointments. They can't afford the gas or the bus fare, let alone the time off work.
You know, basically by squashing funding to free clinics and saying, you know, we don't want to fund free clinics, it basically tells the people of West Virginia, the working poor, you know, we want you to quit your job so you can get on Medicaid. It says, we don't want you to work. We want you to quit your job and get on Medicaid or, you know, go without.
Instead, Settle says she's working with her staff to trim wherever possible. The 7.5% budget cuts they've experienced for the past 2 years, combined with the upcoming cut, means Settle has 48% less funding than she had 3 years ago. With fewer and fewer places to find waste, she says her top priority is to not cut services. Walter says he understands the clinic acts as a safety net for its community, and the work they're doing is good. But, he says, it's not that easy.
You can talk about all these great services and entities that we fund, and none of which are without merit. I mean, they all have a fantastic argument as to why their services should be continued to be funded, and it's our job to do everything we can, and we have to make tough decisions. We have to say, you know, we don't have the money, and you can't spend money in a checkbook that you don't have.
Walter says current projections show the state facing another budget deficit next year. But he says lawmakers are also looking for ways to increase revenues. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Ashton Mara in Charleston.
This is West Virginia Morning at 7:50. Heavy fog this morning, becoming partly cloudy today. There is a chance of some rain and thunderstorms this afternoon. Temperatures in the 70s. Rain likely overnight with thunderstorms possible. Lows in the 50s. Rain and thunderstorms continue tomorrow night, and into Friday.
Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by the New River Gorge Regional Development Authority, working to diversify the economy in the New River Gorge region of West Virginia. Information at nrgrda.org.
Huntington city officials and concerns public forum Tuesday night to discuss their growing concerns over drug abuse and crime in Huntington. Clark Davis has more.
Panel members represented law enforcement, substance abuse treatment and recovery organizations, and neighborhood groups. They all were there to discuss the same thing: drug crimes, those that are addicted to the substances, and how to protect neighborhoods. The idea for the forum came from a discussion that was already occurring on social media. Jim Johnson is the director of the Mayor's Office of Drug Control Policy.
I think when you look at the numbers that we're having here and the deaths that we're having here, this is ground zero. We're not talking New York, we're not talking Chicago, we're not talking Los Angeles, we're talking Huntington, West Virginia. It's ground zero. The time for talk is over. We either decide we're going to do something, we either decide we're going to put the resources into it, or let's just forget about it. I mean, we've got 24 people that are dead right now. We have over 200 overdoses this year.
Johnson hopes ideas will come from the meeting, and those ideas can be added to the ones his office is already implementing. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Clark Davis in Huntington.
In response to the many street fires following big football and basketball games, the Morgantown City Council unanimously passed a ban on outdoor upholstered furniture. Jesse Wright has more.
No one spoke during a public hearing about the new ordinance that would ban people living in city limits from having upholstered furniture in their yards or unenclosed porches. Morgantown City Manager Jeff Mikorski says the ban is an attempt to stem the number of fires that often spring up after West Virginia University games.
Over the last 10 years, we've had over 3,000 street fires because of the quick ability to bring furniture from porches and put it into the streets and put them on fire.
Morgantown City Council used the state's Home Rule pilot program to develop the ordinance. Mikorski says the city's previous attempts to tie a ban on outdoor upholstered furniture to its health code was struck down by a judge. The new ordinance amends the city's property maintenance laws. Mikorski says violators will receive a written warning before a citation is issued. The penalty is a fine of up to $500. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Jesse Wright in Morgantown.
West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. Support for our news bureaus comes from Shepherd University, West Virginia University, Marshall University, and Concord University. Our producer is Ashton Mara. Our director is Teresa Wills. I'm Beth Voorhees.